Welcome to the Umbilical Cord of the Gourd, where I listen to my best friend Maggie tell some crazy stories. Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Michelle. Michelle.
Hey. What's going on, Maggie? How's your diarrhea?
It was really bad for a minute there. I thought I would never be the same.
But here you are.
But here I am, living, loving, thriving.
And what story are you about to enthrall us with?
I'm really glad we started with diarrhea because I'm going to tell you one of my favorite and longest stories called The Night of Jim. And I'm going to go ahead and warn anybody on the listening shipness that this is a really gross story.
Especially if your name is Matt and you are related to Maggie.
Please don't listen to this. You'll like me less. If you're not my brother, and if you also think the poop is funny, also you think that throw up is a little funny, you should stick around because this is a golden story.
And this is one where I think, like, there's been several times in your life that I've been with you and there's somebody else that hasn't heard this story that asks about it. And you have to say, no, I'm sorry. I don't have 45 minutes to tell this right now.
I have a favorite time that I told this story. And it was one of my good friends in college, Dominique. It was like the first time where I thought, you know, this girl and I are really bonding and becoming friends because I think we went to get burritos or something. I don't know. It was our freshman year of college and it was like a half hour walk back to our dorm. And along that walk, the diarrhea hit me and she just hung out with me as we went from building to building. And I would walk for like 5 minutes and then be like, time again. We would just go into a classroom, not a classroom. Ooh. Oh, that would be super weird. Into a bathroom of a building that might have had classrooms. And I would do my pooping. And she would just sit on the sink outside of the stall. And I would just continue telling the story. So we would go from like one bathroom to another bathroom. And I'm just telling this one story the whole time. I think it took an hour for us to get back. So that is why I feel really confident the story has the potential to be incredibly long.
And incredibly poopy.
Incredibly poopy. What a poopy story. What a poopy story.
So just to kind of like set the scene for our listeners, I know the last episode we had, you were in China. So can you kind of describe like where you were in your China experience when this happened?
Yeah. So the last episode, I talked a lot about my little small town of depression because it sounded like depression for those who weren't listening.
And if you weren't listening, then
maybe you should go back and listen.
Go away.
Yeah.
And then come back.
It's not at all critical for this episode, but I don't care. Leave. Bye.
We don't want you here.
Yeah. We're rejecting your presence. So this, though, we had basically like over the winter holidays and then into spring festival, we basically had a month and a half long vacation. While we were on this, we sort of bopped around from like town to town to town to town in China.
And when you say we.
Oh, I mean me and Sponge.
AKA Susie.
At one point we went to this town that's like known as like a haven for backpackers called Dali. We were maybe 3 or 4 weeks into vacation and my stomach was doing this thing where like, you know when you just eat noodles and beer. I had just been having like shitty beer every night.
Because Chinese beer is really bad.
It's bad. And it's also always warm and usually flat, which makes it way worse.
And it's so low alcohol that you have to drink so many of them.
Also, like Chinese drinking games involve you basically like taking just like sit like basically like shot after shot of beer, and so you're bringing your beer up and down a lot, and it very quickly all the bubbles die. Also, I would like to at some point today teach our listeners about shu because it's the best game.
I hate it.
It's the best game. I've said this before. When we were living there, we did not speak any Chinese, and so the way we would make friends with people is like we would go to places where people were drinking. And we would like sit down, and then when somebody started talking to us, they would speak Chinese, and we would be like, American, German. And then at some point we would be like, do you know how to play Shu Shu, which is a brilliant drinking game? And they were always like, you know this game? And we were like, yeah, we do. We're cool. And then we would play this with strangers. And I want to tell everyone this game so that you can play it at home.
Also, this is going to be very difficult to describe when people can't see our hands.
I think I got it. Okay.
So, okay.
Not everyone. Some people have less than two hands. The vast majority of people have two hands. And upon each of those hands lies five fingers.
Well, not everybody.
I'm sticking with the vast majority of people have two hands, each with five fingers. Sorry to our one-handed and nine-fingered listeners out there.
Or 12-fingered.
Yeah. I also hate to discriminate against the polydactyly is when you have extra fingers. Syndactyly is when you have webbed fingers. I would like to apologize to anyone I've offended in the past minute. But so you both say in Chinese 15, 15. And then on the third 15, you put out either one hand of five or two hands of five. And your opponent also puts out one hand of five or two hands of five. And you have to guess the sum.
Wait, can you play with three people?
Yeah. But then it's more numbers and a little less strategy. Because then it's just like you're not thinking so much like, what's this person doing? You're just like, 30.
Anyways,
we don't have to keep in this explanation of shoo shoo, but I really like it. We're walking around in Dali, and Susie was like, yeah, let's go out tonight. The city seems really cool. And I was like, buddy, my stomach is so unwell. I cannot drink. I am saying this as I am recovering from a week's worth of diarrhea right now with three bottles of wine. I've learned nothing in my life. Anyways, I, as a 19-year-old said, I can't drink right now. My stomach is too much. Like, my stomach is like, the thought of beer is making it turn over. And she said, well, we could have cocktails instead. And I'd never had a cocktail because, like, we didn't drink in high school.
And that sounds really gross in China.
Well, they, like, don't exist in a lot of China, right?
It sounds like it's either going to be really sweet or it's going to have the shittiest liquor that you've ever tasted.
Very possible. I can only think of, like, two that I had there. And one of them, I think, was just cherry juice. And the other one was the one from this night, but I can't remember it because it got overshadowed by all of the other sensory issues that I had on this evening. I was like, okay, cool. We can go to a bar, but I'm not drinking any beer. I'll just have like one or two cocktails or something. And so we go to this bar called Bad Monkey. and we go in and the place is full. And we're standing there for a minute trying to decide if we're going to go somewhere else. And the bartender, who's like a white guy with dreads, which is like kind of a weird person to meet working in an establishment in China, walks up to us and is like, hey, there's this table of men over there and they said that you can sit with them if you want to. And we were like, okay, sounds good. So we go in because again,
you have no fear.
No, none. We go into this bar and we sit down at this table with like six dudes who are all not youngsters. I have no idea how old they were, but I want to say like in their 50s or older.
Can you describe the general vibe of this bar?
It was kind of like I think it actually kind of was a cool bar. Like, it was a bit divey. It was like not very Chinese feeling at all. Like, there were no fruit tape plates, minimal dice games. There like was no stage. So it was just like a bar with tables. Like in the US, a very typical bar, I think. Quite a strange bar in China. Also, it had an English name. I think it was like geared towards backpackers. Yeah. So we go in and we sit with these men. And of course, we start playing shuwu shuwu. And I quickly learned that I cannot have a cocktail. Because they are like, no, you can't order cocktails. We already have all of this beer. I was like, I will pay for the cocktail. And they were like, no, beer. And I was like, okay, cool. I guess I'm playing shuwu shuwu with stale beer again. And I like really can't stress to you how not well I was. So we're playing, we're like playing, and I'm sitting next to Susie. And at one point she was like, Maggie, can we switch seats? Because this man next to me is starting to really creep me out. And instead of being like, yeah, why don't we leave? I was like, sounds good. Let's switch seats. I can't say that we had great decision-making skills. Actually, I can say that we did not have great decision-making skills. We switched seats, and this guy had pretty much been like kind of hitting on her. He was this very skinny old man. By old, I mean like probably like 50. But again, we were 19.
That's old.
And so I'm sitting next to this guy, and I'm like playing shwooshu with him and playing with some other people and maybe like some rock, paper, scissors or some dice games. I don't know. And this guy keeps poking me on the knee. And when I look at him, he goes, in Chinese, and I knew at least as much to understand what he was saying. He was like, your friend is beautiful. And I was like, cool. And then I would turn away and try to play a game with someone else. And he would poke me on the knee again and point at at Susie and say like, tell your friend I think she's beautiful. And I was like, what? Tingle dong. Like, I don't understand. So he keeps pointing at me and being like, tell your friend she's beautiful. And I was like, Susie, this man is really creepy. And I was like, not really having much fun. And Susie was like, these people are nice. Like, they keep buying us drinks. And I was like, I wish they wouldn't. So we're sitting there. And at one point, like, there were two American guys who like were sitting at a table kind of nearby. And they came over and wanted to talk to us. And it was like one like nondescript brown haired dude and one like college baseball player who had like very like shoulder length blonde, like bleach blonde hair and like was very buff and wore t-shirts that were really tiny. And he was very confident in how attractive he was.
Like the nipple twins.
Like the nipple twins. He was adult nipple twins. And he also was like kind of a dick. And I don't remember why I thought this, but I really did. So they come over and they're talking to us for a little bit, and we can tell that these like old men whose table we're sitting at are getting like pretty annoyed. Also, these Americans have not like taken any of their drinks. These Americans brought their own drinks and sat down at our table. And these old men we've been sitting with the whole time are like very annoyed that like the young women they've been buying drinks for are talking to other men. And they keep telling us like, are these your boyfriends? And we were like, no. And they were like, okay, then they have to leave. And then we'd be like, what? We don't understand. What are you talking about? And this went on for probably like 20 minutes. And finally, like the bartender, again, this like white guy with dreadlocks comes over and translates for us. And he was like, if like you guys want to stay here, you can. But like, if you're going to keep talking to these men, you have to leave because they don't want them at their table. And I was like, this is kind of creepy. And Susie was like, oh, we should stay here anyways because they've been nice and bought us all our drinks. And I was like, but my stomach hurts so bad. And at this point, I've had like maybe two or three beers. I don't know. I've felt very sober, but very unwell. An important thing to note is that like while we were living in China, Susie lost any appetite for any man that wasn't Chinese. Like, the only people she experienced attraction to in that year were Chinese.
That's very convenient.
Yeah. It would have been weird if, like, she was only attracted to Turkish people for that year. Because then she probably wouldn't have seen anyone that she was into. So we're sitting in this bar full of Chinese people, to be clear. Like, 90% of the people in the room are Chinese. And Susie picks out this one guy. And she's like, that's the love of my life. And she was like, Maggie, isn't he so cute? And I have to tell you, he was not. He just was like a real little nerd. I was like, okay.
Not to disparage our nerd listeners.
I mean, nerds are great. Also, like at this point, I don't know what's going on with Chinese men's hair in 2022, but in 2012, their hair had like a lot of gel and was like 14 feet tall. Like that's how you could tell like this is a cool Chinese man. Is his hair
like a Yu-Gi-Oh kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was like honestly like a feat of engineering. So like Jim's hair was not like this like.
Oh, this is Jim?
Yes. Sorry. I jumped the gun on that one. We haven't met him in person. Like, we haven't exchanged any information with him.
So she saw him from across the room.
She saw him from across the room, the man who would one day become Jim. And she said, that is the love of my life. Also, for anyone who's forgotten, the name of the story is The Night of Jim. Honestly, he's like a minimal player in it, but whatever.
Oh, we have to make a drinking game. Every time that Susie does something that no sane, normal, rational person should do. Like, makes a decision.
I think the combination of every time Susie does something that no sane, rational person would do, and every time I am confronted with a choice, and I'm just like, ah, oh, fuck it, whatever. And I do something I desperately don't want to do.
I mean, they go hand in hand.
Yeah. Sometimes. Sometimes they're distinct, too. That's the fun part.
Oh. Well, we shall see.
We shall see. Let's commence with a drink. So Susie's like, this is the love of my life. And I was like, okay, sure. I can see like three genuinely attractive Chinese guys in our vision. Nope, none of them. It was this one random dude she saw from across the room. So like we're like playing drinking games with these old men. Susie's just weirdly like batting her eyelashes across the bar at this person and is like trying to like draw him in with just like flirty hair flips and looks. He's not paying any attention. He does not notice her at all. So this is going on while the white guys are there. Then the old people like try like kick the white guys out because they're not our boyfriends. And like, how dare they talk to the women they bought drinks for. And then at one point, like I was trying to convince Susie to leave. And she was like, no, these guys are nice. Plus I have Jim to win over. And I was like, okay, whatever. And at one point, Susie jumps up and goes, this is my chance. Just runs away from the table. I don't really know what's going on at this point. So I think like, cool, perfect. I'm going to not drink any alcohol while she's gone. So I'm just sitting there minding my own fucking business, pretending like I don't understand anything these old men are saying. Susie comes back and she was like, I met him. His name is Jim. I love him.
Did she add him on QQ?
So what happened was when she jumped up and said, this is my chance, it was because she noticed that Jim had gotten up from his table. So she chased him to the bathroom and he went into one of the stalls and she just sort of stood outside of it until he came out. We should drink to this. And when he came out of the bathroom, she was like, hi, can I have your phone number? And he was like, okay. So she gave him her phone. Then he like put his name and phone number in it. She shook his hand and then she ran back to our table. And so we're still sitting with these old men. And I'm like, I've been trying to give it to Susie for like an hour that we should leave because these guys are weird and creepy. This was also only like a few weeks after the week after I got punched in the face. And we had made a pact that like if one of us thinks something is like not great, like if one of us thinks like something is not safe, we should leave. And I was just like, Susie, I think this is not a good idea. And she was like, that's fine. And I was like, this pact is not working out. So then at some point, Susie looks at me and she says, I've been texting with Jim and he says that he thinks these guys are not the safest. We should leave.
Oh, excuse me.
Thank you, Jim. Also, fuck you, Susie.
Hey, drink to fuck you, Susie.
So we go out of the bar and she was like, I'm going to get Jim to leave with us. So we go outside and these two American guys we've been talking to are also decided at a similar time to leave. And like, I come outside and they're like, hey, do you want to grab food with us? And I was like, yeah, my friend is inside getting someone named Jim. And so Susie and Jim come out. The five of us start walking to like some street food vendor. And the not hot American guy is super interesting. Great conversation. So I'm talking to the not hot American guy. The hot American guy is just sort of walking near Susie and Jim, who are walking arm in arm. And like the hot American guy's sort of just mad. And he like turns around and he was like, what's wrong with your friend? And I was like, I don't know. She likes this guy. So we're walking and we're talking and I'm having a great conversation with the not hot American, who probably was fine looking. I don't know. And suddenly I realized like I have to throw up. Like, I have to throw up really soon. And I wanted to, and I was like, oh, I know what I'll do. Normally, I would have just said it to Susie in English or like really slurred English because she got to where she could understand me speaking unintelligibly, like fast and not enunciated that other people couldn't. But there were Americans with us, and they would have understood. So I thought, I'll say it in German. But then I realized I didn't know how to say throw up in German.
When have you ever been shy about your throw up?
This was early on.
Okay.
I've grown a lot in the past 10 years, Michelle.
You've come to terms with yourself.
Yeah. I am who I am, and my throw up is my throw up. We're all walking. I have to throw up. I was like, I should say it in German. I don't know how to say it in German. And then I think, what do I know how to say in German? And Susie had taught me this phrase that is supposed to mean I have to go to the bathroom, but for some reason translates literally to I have to go give one to the small king tiger.
I love it.
So it's Ich muss mal jetzt für eine kleine Königstiger. And I said, Ich muss mal jetzt für eine kleine Königstiger. So she immediately is like, oh, okay, let's find you a bathroom right now. And she starts like knocking on doors of restaurants. And like this only went on for about 12 seconds because she knocked on one door of a restaurant and I threw up in a bush of that restaurant. And then I said, actually, you know what? I'm good.
Thank God for bushes.
And no one noticed, like no one noticed at all that I had thrown up. And she was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, took care of it. And she was like, when? Where? And I was like, I don't know. I'm fine now. I don't have to give anything to any tiger. Let's go. So we start walking again. And this is the day that I realized that I have the ability. I used to be really proud of this. I might still be a little proud of this, to throw up while walking without missing a step or getting throw up on anything. So like I could like be walking and either like lean my head over, throw up in a bush and keep walking, or just like pace it to where I threw up in between my legs while they were fully, like one leg was fully in front of the other, and then keep walking and just walk right on through it. We go, we eat. The whole time, like Susie's just hardcore flirting with Jim, who's like only mildly interested in this. And the like the hot American's pretty mad. And like the not hot American and I are just like trying to have a nice chat. We leave, we say goodbye to the Americans, we say goodbye to Jim.
Wait, you leave where?
We leave the restaurant where we were eating street food or something, I don't remember. We hail a cab and I suddenly realize that I know exactly where our hotel is, our hostel is, but I don't know the name of it. I don't know the address of it. And I don't know how to say turn left and turn right.
Oh no.
So luckily Jim is still on the street. And I said, and Jim spoke English pretty well. And I said, hey Jim, can you translate for the cab driver? Like I can tell you now where we need to go. Like it's up here, like past the gate to the left, and then like the third street it's on the right or something like this. And Jim was like, actually I'll just get in the cab and give him directions. And I was like, sounds great. So Jim gets in the front seat. I get in the back. Susie gets in the back and she's like, oh good, it's my friend Jim.
Oh my gosh.
So Jim is just like being super nice and like helping our cab, like giving our cab driver directions in Chinese. And Susie just keeps ruffling his hair and being like, Jim. And I was like, Susie, stop. And she's like, but I like Jim. I was like, Susie, I want to get home so bad. And she was like, you hate me because I love Jim.
Jim's probably like married.
So we finally get back to our hostel. And by finally, I mean 1 minute later, because we were really close. And like Jim paid for our cab and I was like, oh, thanks. You didn't need to do that. And Susie was like, it's because we're in love. And she was like, Maggie, go inside. I'm going to kiss Jim now. Like our hostel was weird because like there was a courtyard, but the walls to the courtyard were like 40 feet high. And there was a giant like 20 foot high metal door that you had to open to get in and out of the courtyard. And I was like, well, I'm going to go inside. But like, I would really prefer you not to be out here for much longer than like 10, 15 minutes. Cause like, we don't know this town. And also we don't know Jim.
I'm going to draw a parallel to when we were in Germany.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we stayed at the Airbnb with the fucking courtyard.
Yep.
And then you brought in Asian Jim. into the courtyard, and I was back at the Airbnb, and I was crying because I thought I lost you, and then I somehow called Paula. I don't know.
Yeah, similar vibes all the way the fuck around. Actually, almost identical evenings. The difference is I was stone cold sober because, again, I'd had like nothing to drink and I'd thrown it all up already. And so like I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go inside and like you do whatever. And then she came in almost immediately. And I was like, how was Jim? And she was like, great. I like Jim. But she would alternate between telling me how bad he was at kissing and then getting mad at me for making fun of her for kissing Jim.
You think if you ask her about Jim now that she will remember anything about
him? She has no memory of Jim whatsoever. This is also pretty much where Jim exits the story. She comes in. She's still like bouncing off the walls in a great mood because kissing Jim had done a lot for her. And I am still really sick and just getting sicker. So like at one point she's like jumping on, like we each had a double bed in our room in the hostel, and she's like jumping from one bed onto the other and like literally bouncing off the walls. I like at one point she was being crazy and I got really, and I like could tell that I was really sick, and I was like, I have to go to the bathroom. And she was like, oh no, I just got sober right now. I'm so good at taking care of people when I'm drinking. And then instead of like walking me to the bathroom, she starts doing jumping jacks and saying the like, I'm ready things from SpongeBob. I go throw up, come back, I'll like get ready for bed. Get in bed, and Susie's like, we have to watch a movie. We have to watch a movie right now. And I was like, what movie? Also, we should keep drinking because everything I'm going to say from this point on is like Susie being excited and me being like, okay. And like, for some reason, the DVD for You've Got Mail was in our hostel room. So we put in You've Got Mail. Susie's still jumping on the bed. Our beds had heated blankets. So at one point, she gets under them and starts screaming, I live in a warm tent. It's a warm tent. And just like kicking her legs. At one point, I'm in bed, like really trying to go the fuck to sleep. Also, like every 20 minutes, I'm running to the bathroom to violently throw up. And she jumps in my bed and like gets under my blankets and she goes, your bed is more comfortable than my bed. Finally, we go to sleep at like 4 o'clock in the morning. And the bad thing is we have scheduled a hostel tour for the next day. So like when you stay at a hostel, they always have like tours of the areas that you can sign up for. That's like an excursion event kind of thing. And like sometimes it makes more sense to do that than to organize it yourself, especially if you know you're going to be a little hungover. We scheduled a hostel tour for like 8 o'clock in the morning. So we know like we need, and we're supposed to leave the next night. So we were like, we got to get up at 7 and pack and get ready to go on this hostel tour and check our luggage into the hostel, whatever. At about 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm like very rudely awakened, not by Susie being too much, but because like my eye is burning. And it takes me a couple seconds to realize that like my eye is burning because I'm laying on my back and I threw up in my sleep. My head was like tilted back kind of, and the throw up rolled up my cheek and then down my eye socket and into my eyeball. I wake up violently, like shake my head, and I'm like, where am I? Why am I in so much pain? Who has done this to me? Why has the Lord forsaken me in such a manner? I run to the bathroom. I then wash out my eyeball. I then finished my vom sesh. And then I went back into our room at the hostel. I've also been asleep for maybe 2 hours at this point. I throw all of the things that have vomit into it on them on into the corner. And then I just got back to bed. So then the next morning, we, like, as I've said a few times, we scheduled this like tour of a bunch of villages in the area with our hostel. And so like we basically got in a van with like four or five other, like also all women, but I think that was just a coincidence. So we get in this van and it drives us all to these like historic villages is I think the way it was sold to us. And also, so this is in like province that's called the Land of Eternal Spring because it's always beautiful. Like it's year round it's 72 degrees. The food is really tasty. Everything is super scenic. There's a bunch of like historic and ethnic things to see around. There's a bunch of minorities that are indigenous to the area. It's just like a paradise. And as we drive from historic village to historic village, Susie and I both just wanted to die because we were so, she was hungover. I was ill. So like there were, I think, three other girls on this tour, and like we stopped at some places and I remember sitting with them and like having something to eat and thinking like they're here for a nice day. And like, I can't even feign interest in whatever they're saying because all I can think is, man, I wish I was either asleep or dead right now. Either would be better than sitting at this table talking to you and pretending like I could possibly eat food right now. And this tour was like 4 hours long. So like they would take us to these villages and be like, hey, take like 20 minutes and explore. Susie and I would look around for 30 seconds and be like, let's get back in the van and lay down. So then we would just get back in the van and like lay down on the like the bench seats and like put our feet up against the windows and like spread our arms out and just grunt.
Okay. Do I need to crack open this tall boy 9% beer?
I would like you to know that I just opened an entire another bottle of wine. So yes.
I'm here for the ride with you, Maggie. Hey friend, did you know you're 3 times more likely to wake up with vomit in your eye than to die in a car crash?
What? That's nuts. Don't just be another statistic. Get top-of-the-line protection, like we did.
SpeeSpecs are the only vomit-proof sleep mask that offers patented puke guard technology and a 136% money-back guarantee.
SpeeSpecs work. They can shield your eyes from projectile vomit traveling up to 41 miles per hour. That's insane.
Click the link in our show notes to get your SpeeSpecs too. For an extra $19.95, they'll even throw in a spider-proof mouthguard in a matching color.
SpeeSpecs, rest easy. Okay, so we're deeply hungover, very unhappy for this whole thing. We get back to the hostel and we still have to catch a train that night. Like, we booked our tickets to leave and go to a different city. So we packed up all our shit. We checked out. We went to the train station. We got on the train and it's like, it's a short train, but it's a night train. And I think we got on at like 11 and it was supposed to be like a 6-hour train ride or something. And the way the train cabins are laid out is that you have these like compartments that have on the right and the left, a bed on the bottom, a bed on the middle, and a bed up higher.
And they're not like really tall enough that you can like, you can barely sit up in your bed without hitting your head.
Yeah. The only one where you can properly sit up is the bottom bunk. And then that becomes like the whole cabin's bunk.
And they sit there and play cards.
So yeah. So just like strangers will sit in your bed. So like the best one is to get the middle bunk, because then you can get down really easy, but you also don't have strangers sitting in your bed. I don't know that this ever happened. I can just imagine a very skinny Chinese man clipping his toenails in my bed. I'm sure it's happened to many people. So I think we were both in the middle bunks in the same cabin. And we got in and there were 3 children sharing the bed underneath Susie. And so the entire like 6 or 7 hour train ride that's supposed to be a nighttime train, so you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, cool, I can take on the world, just kicked her belt, her bed the whole night.
God.
And like screamed and played. So she slept not for 1 second on this entire train ride. I, however, slept like a baby. And the only reason I slept like a baby is that I crawled into my bed and realized immediately that I had violent diarrhea. And I, so the thing about Chinese toilets, I'm going to explain squatty potties. Okay, I'm going to start with the general idea. And this is not just a Chinese thing, but like instead of like an elevated toilet that's like a foot or two off the ground, you'd basically have like a hole in the ground that sometimes like has a nice like porcelain surrounding to it. And you just like spread your feet and you squat and then you do your business. And it's actually fine. It's much better for your digestive tract. But so I get in my bed. I immediately realize that like I have violent diarrhea. And I make the decision that instead of trying to poop in the squatty potty on this train, I'm just going to clench my butthole, close my eyes, and force myself to sleep.
How?
I don't know, but I did it. I like the thing is like I knew if I like went to the bathroom once, I like would never be able to go to sleep. And I was also so fucking tired because, again, think about this whole thing. Like, I was already not feeling well. I then went out for several hours, drank with old men that I didn't like that much. I then, like, got Susie back to our hostel where she just was, like, in love with some man named Jim and, like, jumping on the beds. And I'm just, like, throwing up my eyeball. I wake up. And then go for like a 4-hour tour of historic villages.
This is like the part that like I disconnect in my brain that these two are this part of the same like 2 days.
Yeah, the thing is like it's all the only reason all of this was happening was these old men made me drink stale beer. Like that's the central part of the story. So I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning and like from a dead sleep. And I opened my eyes and thought, I have no choice. I have to go to the toilet. I get out of bed. I tap on Susie and I say, hey, do you have any tissues? Because toilets in China also don't have their own toilet paper. You have to bring yours with you. And she was like, yeah. And she handed me like just like a packet of Kleenex kind of. And I go to the bathroom, pull my pants down. I squat over this hole in the train floor and I start shitting. And I think I only shat for like 2 seconds because I immediately realized I was missing the toilet. And the poop was not going into the hole. It was going behind the hole.
Oh no.
And I clenched up real tight. And like no one listening can hear how big my eyes are right now, but they're as big as they get.
Eyes are so big.
I clenched up and I looked and there is a liquid, the color and consistency of butternut squash soup surrounding what is supposed to be the toilet part of this bathroom just pooled on the ground. And I have approximately 10 Kleenex. In my hand. And I weighed my options for about 3 seconds. And then I took the remaining tissues and like did my best to make gloves over my 4 non-thumb fingers on each hand. And just scooped what I could into the toilet. That is until I thought that it might have been seeping through the toilet paper, because an important thing also to know about Chinese train bathrooms is there's no sink, so you can't wash your hands. So I scooped them, and then before I got any poop on my fingies, I threw them in, and I left a whole bunch of this butternut squash soup diarrhea just on the ground, and I felt really confident that there were people outside waiting to come inside and use the bathroom. So I took about 4 seconds before I opened the door. And I coached myself and I said, look at the ground and walk with passion.
Because it could have been left there by
whoever. Yeah, and I could have just been casually peeing, not only in a toilet full of someone else's butternut squash poop. But in a toilet full of someone else's butternut squash poop with just track marks from where I had, from where someone else had scooped the poop into the toilet. That was a possibility. Anyways, so I leave. To this day, I have no idea if there was another person outside of that because I so committed to the art of look at your feet and walk.
Here's the other thing is the other person who was in there before you could have just had a like a bowl of butternut squash soup in their pocket. And then as they sat down to poop, they forgot they had it and it just spilled out behind them.
If I had a fucking nickel for every time I spilled butternut squash soup out of my pocket onto the floor of a bathroom, I would have $17. I'm going to let you do that math, but it's pretty common in my life. So
I wouldn't like not believe you if you had actually done that.
Yeah, that does sound like a thing that I would do. So I walk out, I get back. We have about 20 minutes left on this train ride. I crawl back up into my bed and just sit there in shame. And finally we get to the place we're going. We get all our shit. We get off. Susie and I are both like off and not fine because fine indicates some amount of not wanting to die. And we both had none of that for kind of different yet related reasons. She had had children kicking her bed all night after just a remarkable hangover to begin with. I had left butternut squash soup on the floor of a bathroom. So we catch a cab. We go to the hostel where we're staying. It's 6 a.m. now when we get there. And they said, oh, sorry, unfortunately, your room will not be open until 8 o'clock in the morning. We can give you some blankets and you can sleep in the lobby of our hostel. So we go into the lobby of this hostel. And it's like the one of the like most trendy hostels in this very it's like it's Kunming. It's a very backpacker friendly, but also just like very cool, like best city to visit in China, in my opinion. And this is like the best hostel. And so we go and we just like take up three couches between the two of us somehow. There is like a very angry man's portrait staring at me while I sleep. And now I want to remind you, I didn't finish my poop on that train. I've just been white knuckling it and clenching my butt for like a good hour now, knowing what horrors lie inside of my body. So we get our blankets, we go, we lie down, and then like I get up and I go upstairs to where the bathrooms are, and there's a Western style toilet, and I was like, awesome, perfect, wonderful. It was out of order. And so there are three squatty potties in front of me. I give myself a good 30 seconds worth of like emotional coaching, which was like, Maggie, you can go in there and you can squat and you can poop right into that toilet. You can do it. You can just channel your poop inside of the toilet. And I feel super confident. I go inside and I squat. I open up that butthole that's been closed for a good hour. And I miss the toilet again.
What? Oh my god.
And once again, I look down and just around the rim of the toilet on the floor is butternut squash soup. The nice thing is at this point, like there's a roll of toilet paper in this bathroom. Oh, so I clean myself up. And then I just like coat my hands in 87 packs of like rolls of toilet paper and scoop what I can in. And then I reapply toilet paper to my hands and I scoop it in. The problem is that didn't actually clean it enough. There was still like I spent probably 15 minutes trying to get the butternut squash soup up. There was more. And I want to also tell you that like the first time I opened my butt, I thought, oh no, there's soup on the ground. I closed it up. So this whole time I've been cleaning the ground, I've just been clenching my butthole. not letting not letting the butternut squash soup out. And I finally get it as clean as I can. And I think I have two options. I can use a squatty potty. And science has proven that I will miss. Or I can use the out of order Western toilet.
What?
So of course I use the out of order Western toilet.
Maggie! Out of order means it doesn't flush.
How is that worse than shitting on the floor?
Because you have at least a chance to not shit on the floor.
Two times is too many times to think that I could work it out. Anyways, I used the Western style toilet. I wiped myself off good. And then I went back to sleep on the couch in the lounge. And I woke up 2 hours later and I moved into my bedroom where I had my own bathroom. And no consequences ever found me. So that's the end of the story.
What have you learned from this whole experience?
I have learned that if my body says definitely no alcohol tonight, I only drink if I want to. You know, sometimes your body's like, no, and your brain is like, yes. Then just, like, do whatever the fuck you want. But if your body's like, no, and your brain is like, no.
But then there's these old Chinese men.
Old any man who says, drink. If my body and my brain say no to old men.
Say no to old men. Susie, I hope you're listening to this. Say no to old men.
Susie, say no to old men.
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Michelle.
Can you tell everybody what the random word is all about?
Can I actually pee first?
No.
All right. Yeah. So the random word is Michelle picks a word that is
random.
And then I have to come up with the quickest story I can.
So that you can go pee.
Yeah. So that I can pee. Because that's my ultimate goal is to relieve my bladder. But also, hopefully, the story is funny and interesting. But, like, I don't care. I mostly have to pee.
So, because of that, the random word is going to be spatula.
Okay, got it. Wow, that was really fast. So, the year after I finished my undergrad, I spent a year in Germany doing this very weird exchange program. But part of doing that year, getting to that year, was the interview process. And it was an interview in Atlanta. And weirdly, my roommate from freshman year of college was interviewing on the same day in the same place for the same like program. And so we decided to both drive to Atlanta together. And there happened to be a snowstorm the day that we drove. And I woke up and I also had like, I have a real problem with like business casual things.
Which I've never seen you in.
Yeah, because I hate it. The morning that I was supposed to drive down, I woke up. There were like 4 inches of snow on my car. And I didn't have a snow scraper to get them off my car. What I did have was a guitar-shaped spatula. So I went outside in ballerina flats and shorts.
Wait, was that your business casual?
No. Those were just the shoes I happened to have around and the pants I happened to have around. Actually, I'm not going to lie. Those shoes might have been the ones I wore to the interview. Feels absolutely within reason. I went outside in some amount of shoes and some amount of pants and a spatula, and I scraped all of the snow off my car. We got to Atlanta. We both had the interview. No one died, and we should all thank my spatula for that.
The guitar-shaped spatula. With that, we will
call an end to this beautiful podcast.
Did I tell you about the time I vomited hard enough to flush a toilet?
What does that mean?
I was at a bachelorette party thing in New Orleans, And there, it was all these girls I had never hung out with before that they just invited me because the groom was like one of Derek's best friends. And so I went on this trip and I was just like having a good time. And then I may or may not have crawled under a homeless man for $20. And the next day we were at a brewery having like a chill morning. I was feeling so bad. I went to the bathroom and then I threw up and my throw up literally flushed the toilet. It was so violent.
Wow.
I didn't know that was possible.